This evening we'll be discussing the final five verses. This is like visit number three with multiple sections of chapter 9 of Canto 7 Srimad Bhagavatam, Prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrsimhadev. And just yesterday evening, we finished his prayers. Very beautiful, very instructive, totally transcendental, educational, purifying. I had a fantastic time just getting absorbed in the prayers and speaking on them. And now the final section is what Lord Nrsimhadev says in response to his prayers. And then Canto 7, Chapter 10 is further back and forth. You'll see from the final verses why there's some further back and forth. I'm about to show you 10 images, and in the lower right-hand corner, it's not well focused, but these images are from a book that's recently been published by a devotee named Dhruva. He's the son of a Prabhupada disciple who, from the time Dhruva was a little boy, he just had this natural attraction for Lord Nrsimhadev. So he saved his pennies and nickels and did some odd jobs and saved up some money so he could, when he became a teenager, he could go to India and visit temples of Lord Nrsimhadev. He's starting with the Hobalam. And there was an article in Back to Godhead some years ago where his first venture to a Hobalam and what his experience was like there. Some photographs of the deities in a Hobalam was the beginning. And then over a period of maybe a decade, he's gone again and again and again and again and again. And the title of the book is The Lost Temples, Volume 1. So there are many, many, many deities of Lord Nrsimhadev throughout all of India. Some are very well known. And in this book, which I told him I'm going to promote his book a little bit, but it's very nice. So he's indicating places that he visited where some are remote, some are in caves, some are in prominent temples, but different forms of Lord Nrsimhadev. So the section is not just because the 10 that I'm going to show you, they're primarily from Karnataka. It's not that the whole book is just the deities of Lord Nrsimhadev in Karnataka. It's a 220-page book, and I'm going to show you 10 images. So, Chintamani Narasimha in Kudli, Karnataka. Some information in the book. A very ancient temple from the 12th century. And there's some legend connected with the temple that one of the Hoysala kings built a temple for this self-manifested deity of Lord Nrsimhadev. And the local people have some belief that this Lord Nrsimhadev cures mental illnesses. And they also believe that Prahlad personally worshipped this deity of Lord Nrsimhadev. And another place in Karnataka, Lakshmi Narasimha. And there we see Lakshmi. And nicely worshipped, there's a Utsav Murti down at the bottom. And of course some other forms of Lord Nrsimhadev here. Some of the history of the book, within the book, the origin of the temple itself is not known. But the people of the town, they believe that Lord Nrsingadev came here just to protect the people of the town and its surroundings. So they worship Lord Nrsingadev for protection. There's an Ugra Nrsingha form in another place in Karnataka, and the local people believe that the town previously had the name Arjunapura, Arjunapuri, and it's because at one time Arjuna had requested Krishna to show his Nrsingha incarnation. Krishna said, that's not possible. But instead, I'll show you a deity form, and he manifested this deity form on the request of Lord Brahma to make the deity of Ugra Nrsingha, and Lord Brahma carved the deity and gave the deity to Arjuna, and Arjuna worshipped this form, according to the local people. There's no Shastra to support any of this. This is just what local people say. And the very large-sized deity, the whole village, not just the Hindus in the village, but everybody comes to worship. And the priest covers this form of Hiranyakashipu with a cloth. And there's, as Dhruva is saying here, it's a local legend that if they remove the cloth and you see what's underneath the cloth, that person who does that will go mad. So people are afraid to take the cloth away. I guess the pujari must or something. Ugra Nrsingha. Yoga Nrsingha, as you see, here's his feet, and his legs are stretched out in a yoga asana posture. His hands are hanging over the edge of his knees. And the description is that this form is said to be the deity of a previous royal family. And then they built the temple for the deity that they worshipped, Yoga Nrsingha. There's another Yoga Nrsingha. There's sometimes you see in yoga classes, they have this little strap to put around the knee as you're sitting in a yoga posture, so you can stay in that posture longer, I guess. So sometimes the deity of Lord Nrsingadev, this Yoga Nrsingha, has this marking like this. And worship very nicely. Lakshmi Nrsingha, in another place, another town in Karnataka. The locals call him Happy Nrsingha. You can't tell so well because of the lighting, but he's got a big smile. And the local people say that the temple was constructed 800 years ago by one of his devotees. Again, Yoga Nrsingha in Melkote. It's on top of a mountain, and it is said that Ramanujacharya stayed here for some time. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this deity was also visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and many, many saintly persons visited this nice temple. Nice deity form. Chintamani Nrsingha, again in Karnataka. Very, very large deity. Here he has one knee up and one knee down. Again, a Yoga Nrsingha deity. This form was manifest 500 years ago, and was and still is the main lord of the village where he's being worshipped. And the worship is very nice. Interesting features of Nrsingadev. Ugra Nrsingha in a small place in Karnataka. with a big mustache. Oh, we saw that one. What was the happiness sugar? Anyway, yeah. I guess they have a similar name, Happy Nishina. Okay. Although he's Ukra Nishina, he's Happy Nishina. So there's some information about the book. It's available at Amazon.com. It's the modest price of $108. 220 pages. Each the book is very heavy. I mean, just to carry it around, it's a heavy book. The page size is 18 by 14. And as you can see, good color, 2 inches thick. If you're interested, there's volume one. So the final 5 verses of the chapter. Lord Nrsimhadev wishes to offer benedictions to Prahlad. So it starts with Narada Muni speaking. This whole canto, Canto 7, is Narada speaking to King Yudhisthira. The great Saint Narada said, thus, Lord Nrsimhadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows. So, next verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of Asuras. Let's see. Somewhere, it's Asura Dvaja. Anyway, not in this verse, different Sanskrit. All good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask for me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Even Hiranyakashipu over there on the left, he saw Lord Nrsimhadev, but he was liberated. The body looked a mess, but the soul went to a transcendental place. Now, we're going to hear something further about this term, Dhira Sarva Bhavena. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. It's a very direct statement. There's of course, Lord Nrsimhadev, Prahlad on his lap. There's the Goddess of Fortune. There's Lord Brahma. There's Narada Muni. There's Lord Shiva. And the situation was that demigods were there to observe Lord Nrsimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu and all of his cohorts. And now they themselves offered prayers unsuccessfully in their attempt to pacify the Lord, but Prahlad's prayers pacified him. So the verse, this is the second to the last verse in the whole chapter. Some emphasis is going to go to this word Dhira. Dhira, he's chosen to translate it here as very wise. We'll see at the end of this little discussion. Prabhupada speaks of the term a little differently. Dhira Sarva Bhavena. But one cannot be, Dhira means undisturbed. The mind doesn't become disturbed. And mind doesn't become disturbed takes more than knowledge. It takes more than meditation. It takes a mind that's completely in transcendence. And mind to be completely in transcendence is possible when all material contamination is washed away. So very wise and highly elevated. Prabhupada describes in the purport, because the Lord gives grants all necessities or all benedictions to every living entity. So how do the unalloyed devotees receive their necessities? We discussed yesterday, if you recall, about the Paramahansas. Remember that? Paramahansa. The topmost stage of living entity is the Paramahansas. And one example is Madhavendra Puri, who was in a sannyasi, but in the stage of sannyas that was topmost. And that is specifically in terms of his bodily maintenance. He would not eat unless somebody came and offered him something to eat, and otherwise he would fast. In the West, he would die. But in India, he was looked after because people understood he's a saint. He's an elevated, holy person. And so, one time when he was visiting in Vrindavan, near Govardhan Hill, he was seated in the end of the day and just chanting the holy name by the side of a little pond here. That's where Govindakund now is. And Krishna came. He didn't recognize Krishna, but Krishna brought a pot of milk for Madhavendra Puri. So Prabhupada makes reference to one of my favorite verses in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. You can chant it together. Ananyas chintayam toham yedana paripasate kesam vityali yukkana yogakshema vahamyaham. This is how great devotees receive their necessities. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form. This is the Brijbasis meditating on the form of Hari as he accepted all of their offerings, their Anukut offerings. Instead of offering to Indra, they offered to Govardhan Hill. And Lord Hari assumed this gigantic form and ate everything. They were all astonished seeing this amazing form of Lord Hari. The celestials in the sky and the residents of Vrindavan. And even Krishna came before Lord Hari. Krishna and Balaram paid their obeisances. To them I carry what they lack, as in the case of Draupadi, and in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. This is Maharaj Parikshit when the Brahmastra that was sent by Ashwatthama to kill him within the womb of Uttara, Krishna came and personally protected him with his own Sudarshan weapon. So the fiery weapon of the Brahmastra didn't harm Maharaj Parikshit. I protect what they have and I preserve what they have. And carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. So great souls are in that situation. They're dependent upon Krishna. They're not lazy. But if something comes, they know that it's coming from Krishna directly. They're not thinking it's on the strength of my own power, prowess, intelligence, endeavor, and so forth. We make some endeavor to serve Krishna, and Krishna is the one who maintains such elevated devotees. This verse has some commentary by our acharyas. This is Baladev Vidyabhusan. His commentary reads, I alone take responsibility for bringing and preserving food and other necessities for those people who take me alone as the goal. Ananya Jana, who meditate upon me, Chintaya, Chintayanta, who worship me thoroughly, Pari Upasate, and who are always absorbed in me, Nitya Abhyuktanam, forgetting about their bodily maintenance. That's the position of certainly Madhavendra Puri, the picture we saw earlier, this Paramahansa. The previous verse, by the way, there were six activities of bhakti that Prahlad was saying, by those six activities one can become a very highly qualified devotee, and the very highly qualified devotee, the Paramahansa, can understand you. And so he's indicating, Prahlad is indicating in his prayer, I wish to be engaged in your devotional service so I can come to that stage, that I can understand you. So now here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. The happiness of my Ananya Bhaktas, this on the other hand, is because the previous verse is speaking of those that are not devotees, not Bhaktas. The happiness of my Ananya Bhaktas is given by me personally. It is not attained by pious acts. For such persons, his Ananya Bhaktas, I take care of their attainment of wealth and their maintenance, though they do not expect any such things. The use of the word vahami indicates that the Lord bears the burden of maintaining their bodies in the manner that the householder takes the responsibility for maintaining his own wife and children. Krishna is the maintainer of all living entities. He maintains the elephant. He maintains the ant. He maintains the human population. He maintains the animals. He maintains the insects. He just maintains all living entities. And so, just like the comparison is, just like a householder takes the responsibility of maintaining his wife and children, his family, particularly for the devotee, Krishna does this directly. Directly. There's this nice story about this verse. There's a commentator, appropriate commentator's name was Ajunacharya. He lived in Puri. He was a householder. And while living in Puri, he was writing his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. And he came to this verse, Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham. And his mind became disturbed. And he was thinking, how can a devotee take service from Krishna? The devotee wants to give service to Krishna, not take service from Krishna. So how does it work? They do night service and Krishna comes and maintains them. He was disturbed. So with his stylus, he just drew a line through those words, Vahamyaham, and told his wife, I'm going to go take my midday bath. I'll be back for lunch. And when shortly after he had gone, two children came to the door. One very blackish in complexion, the other very white like snow, Krishna Balaram. And they brought to the door, your good husband sent us to give you these edibles so you can make a nice offering. And she looked at the vegetables and the grains and everything that they had in their basket, and she said, I've never seen items like this in the marketplace. Where did you get them? Your husband gave them. He said just to come bring them to you. And so she said, well, just wait a while, and my husband will be very happy to see you when he comes back. They're just going to take us back for midday. He said, oh, no. We're not staying here for a minute longer. Your husband beat us. And she said, my husband? He's a brahmana. He's very gentle. He never would beat anybody. He said, just see. And they lifted, turned their back, lifted their shirt. They showed these marks on their back. We're leaving right now before he gets back. We don't want to be beaten again. And they left. And after some time, Ajunacharya came back from his bath and his midday duties. And his wife told what happened. These two boys came and they brought, see all these vegetables? I've never seen such celestial looking vegetables anywhere in the market. We've lived here for years. And they said that you sent them. I said, really? Could you describe? And they, yes, they said that you beat them. You beat them very severely. They showed the marks on their back. And the husband was puzzled. This whole story was very strange. He said, could you describe them to me? Well, one was very, had very dark complexion, and the other very fair complexion, and very beautiful in their features. And Arjunacharya then fell to his knees at the feet of his wife and said, you are so fortunate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to your door and has brought to you all these vegetables and edibles. And he explained to what happened. The marks on their back was as he was writing in his Bhagavad Gita book, striking out the words Vahamyaham. And so Krishna wanted to show he personally carries what they lack and preserve what they have. I'm so unfortunate that I was doubting Krishna's words, and you're so fortunate. You saw the personality of Godhead face to face. So it's said, the rest of the story is, for weeks, Arjunacharya was just walking around Puri in a daze, calling out, Vahamyaham, Vahamyaham, Vahamyaham. People thought he had gone mad. So, the Paramahamsas, the persons who are totally Ananya Bhaktas, Pari Upasate, and Chintayantaha, and Nitya Vyuktanam, completely absorbed. Krishna is the maintainer. He's the maintainer of everyone anyway, but he does so indirectly, or in the case of his devotees, he does so directly. This is a nice photograph of the Govindaji deity in Jaipur. Prabhupada quotes this verse from his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's transcendental qualities of opulence, sweetness, and mercy are perfect and full. As far as Krishna's affectionate meaning towards his devotees is concerned, he is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees. Right in his purport, Prabhupada quotes this from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And another verse from the 11th canto Bhagavatam. O King, this is Shukadeva Goswami. No, this is the Navayogendra speaking to King Nimi. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. No, it's not advisable to run with your eyes closed. So the meaning is not specifically in that literal sense. The meaning is in the sense that if one simply has strong faith in the personality of Godhead and his loving nature, the bhakta-vatsala nature, is discussed in the purport, that he's just so kind to his devotee that even there may be some inattentiveness to the ordinary affairs of life, as this running with eyes closed. But there's not going to be a calamity, because Krishna will help and protect that devotee. So the blunder on his path in this world is to forget Krishna. And if there is some discrepancy in the activities of a fully faithful devotee, Krishna corrects that. He says directly in Bhagavad Gita, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. He personally will correct that Ananya Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupasate. He'll directly involve himself in the life of that devotee. So that's what Prahlad's prayers are saying here. Lord Srinadev is saying, I take care of all the needs of all living entities, and certainly a great devotee like you. To them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have, because of their unalloyed, unflinching dedication to Krishna. The word dhira sarvabhavena something's wrong with the grammar here. Words do not mean in whichever way you like. Bhava is the preliminary condition of love of Godhead. The bhava stage is the final division before one reaches love of Godhead. The word sarva bhava means that one can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental modes of mellows. Sarva bhava. Beginning with dasya, sakya. So these are the rasas or mellows of love. As dasya as a servant, sakya like Arjuna as a friend, vatsalya like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj as parental affection, madhurya as Radha and the gopis or the queens in Dwarka. In the stage of bhava, then all variegatedness is there because Krishna is full and he reciprocates with the love of his devotees. Since our main business is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can render service from any of the above mentioned platforms of love. And now comes the last verse of the chapter. Text 55. Narada Muni said, summary, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benediction for material happiness because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. So Prahlad was a pure devotee. One sense one can say Lord Srinadeva was testing him or examining him. Another is to say he was revealing the glories of Prahlad. Take anything you like. I have the capacity to give anything and everything. I'm the one that can give anything and everything to everyone. There's no one else like me. What would you like? And this is the last slide here. Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastaka, number 4. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam ba jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani jamanishwari bhavatad bhaktir ahaitaki twayi. O my Lord Jagadish, I do not pray for benedictions by which to achieve material wealth, popularity, or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of the servant of your servant. Nice translation. The painting, as it says across here, at least some, there is this claim that during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, had an artist commissioned to make a painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's the painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't know that for sure, but that's the claim, and it's certainly a very enchanting image. In the garb of a sannyasi, the personality of Godhead, teaching and distributing freely love for Krishna. And this is our last slide, that the prayers of Prahlad have, if one hears them or recites them or remembers them, they're heart changing. They're giving instructions, but there's also a mood of pure devotion, going way back to how we started this 3 visits ago. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad was sent from Vaikuntha by the personality of Godhead to teach the way of pure devotion. So he's teaching from the position of a very unqualified, contaminated, covered, mode of ignorance, son of a big asura personality. So he's speaking in terms of humility, but his devotion is totally pure. And that's how the next chapter begins. He takes exception to Lord Srinadeva asking him to take something. Maybe we'll discuss that tomorrow. Let's see. Okay, lights on. Can someone turn the light on? So, any discussion about, practically about anything, because we just finished the chapter.
So we have here that Lord Narasimha came for to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu. So he did that past time and then he left, right? So but now we hear in most of the places he appeared, like in Karnataka, in Tamil Nadu, in various places that
his deity form appeared. Doesn't say he appeared. Okay. He appeared. He appeared, at the place where Hiranyakashipu was residing. Where was Hiranyakashipu residing? In Karnataka?
No, not only in Karnataka. We hear he appeared in different places, and it's not like that.
No. He had taken over the kingdom of Indra. That's where he was residing. Indraloka. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's on.
We understand theoretically and how Krishna has been personally protecting the elevated devotees. So taking few steps down to the sadhakas, how do we understand the Krishna's hand in our situations? Given sometimes we consider, okay, Krishna is placed in this situation to test me. So I'm able to process that in a very detailed sense.
This microphone doesn't seem to be working properly. Do you have another one? We just trade. They're both on, but that one doesn't seem to be working. I heard what he said. Okay, so let me restate your question and see if I've understood what you want to know. A pure devotee, an elevated devotee, someone very close to Krishna, dear to Krishna, that Krishna takes care of everything, that's understandable. What about for the rest of us that aren't so elevated and high and close to Krishna? How are we to understand Krishna's looking after us? Is that your question?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. In proportion to, is the phrase that Prabhupada would use. When devotion is unmixed, it's very clear. When devotion is mixed, it's less clear. So in proportion to. So the nature of unsteady bhakti is like a sine curve. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. So sometimes we feel closer and sometimes we feel more distant. Sometimes we're feeling connected, sometimes we're feeling not so connected. And a lot, it's not just how we're feeling. Our conscious attention upon Krishna can be greater or lesser. So in proportion to our, using Prabhupada's language, service and submission, Krishna takes great charge. And then conversely, in proportion to our still clinging to our false sense of independence and trying to be the enjoyer of the temporary, then Krishna doesn't interfere with that. We're under the care of another agency, his external energy, and things may happen accordingly. That doesn't mean that Krishna totally disappears because we're mixed. It's just in proportion. Or maybe another visual image that helps is the sun. And where there's a cloudless sky, when there's very thin clouds, or there's medium clouds, or there's dark clouds, big heavy rain clouds, it can be like night, although it's day, because when the clouds are very thick and filled with moisture, that the monsoon rain clouds, the sky becomes dark. Still, it's daytime, different than nighttime. So in proportion to.
I'll just project my voice.
Okay.
There's a set of prayers that Prabhupada Maharaj offers to Narasimha Dev in the Brahmanda Purana. It's called Narasimha Kavacha Stotra. Are you familiar with that?
I'm aware of it. I don't know what the prayers have to say, though.
I wanted to ask if that's something you would recommend to perhaps read, meditate. It speaks about Prabhupada Maharaj requesting Narasimha Dev for protection on all parts of his body, east, west, north, south, etc.
I don't know without seeing what it says. I don't know. I'd prefer to not comment without knowing. There's a Narayana Kavacha that sounds like what you're describing, that's in the Bhagavatam. Yeah. So that's given by Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu. Yes?
As a Vishwaru?
No. No. In any case, it's touching different parts of the body and saying different mantras, may the Lord protect me this way, protect me this place, protect me that place. Narayana Kavacha. Yeah. Vishrup gives to Indra, so he's then protected. So I don't know about this other one. And I don't know what our acharyas say about it either, so I'm going
to... One devotee had suggested it to me. So.
And I'm responding, I can't comment. Don't know about it.
Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was the bhava he has, he is experiencing, like he's seeing God in everyone and everything.
Mm.
So at what level of bhakti, at what stage one can experience the same bhakti basically? And it's the first part of the question. Second part is, will it take many lifetimes or it can happen in within one lifetime?
The stage is the stage of, according to scripture, there's Kanishtha, Madhyama, and Uttama, or beginning, intermediate, and topmost. What you described that Prahlad was able to see is in the topmost, the Uttama. Uttama Adhikari is one sees Krishna within everything. And how long does it take is the second question. I'll elaborate. There's, amongst the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's Kanishtha, Kanishtha, Madhyama, Kanishtha, Uttama, Kanishtha. And then Kanishtha, Madhyama, 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 Uttama, Madhyama. So there's further subdivisions of those three. So Prahlad is in the Uttama Uttama, topmost topmost. And how long does it take? It can take less than a moment, or it can take many, many lifetimes. Once a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, how long does it take to be Krishna conscious? Prabhupada's immediate reply, less than a moment. And in that less than a moment, two things. The tendency for engaging in fruitive activities to try to enjoy sense gratification, you have to give that up. The second thing is the tendency to try to know by the power of mental speculation, you have to give that up. Then he said, generally people are attached to those two things, and therefore generally the process is gradual. But all it takes is less than a moment. Now, the Bhagavatam describes Katbanga Maharaj, who fully surrendered in one moment, in less than a moment. He received some benediction because he had done some wonderful service, and he was given, what's the one thing you would desire? He said, I'd like to know when I'm going to die. Then you're going to die in the next moment. So he fully surrendered and went to the spiritual world. Pretty rare that less than a moment one can fully surrender, but that's the requirement. Full surrender. So there's part where, like this earlier discussion, there's partials, there's mixed devotion, and there's unmixed. This Ananya Bhakta term. You want to say something further? You're going to add something to this? You started to speak and I kept talking. It can happen quickly, it can happen in this lifetime, for sure. That's the intention, in this lifetime. during one's lifetime one can become fully Krishna conscious, and when one becomes fully Krishna conscious, one will not take birth again. Janma karma chime divyam evam yogiti tatvataha punar janma na. There she is. Princess. Anything else? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
The first one, like Prahlad Maharaj, is it
there? Shravan, can you sit back a little bit so I can... Yeah.
The first one, like Prahlad Maharaj, is it there in Kali Yuga?
There's no personality like Prahlad Maharaj in Kali Yuga. Is that what you're saying?
Is there a personality? Is it there or
not? Is he here now or not? That's your question?
No, I think...
No, he is asking, is there a personality like Prahlad Maharaj in this Kali Yuga?
Of course. For example, all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. For example. How's that? It's Kali Yuga. For Srila Prabhupada, for example. How's that? You're surprised. Are you okay? No, you're not okay.
Because Maharaj was tortured by so many things, snakes and different things. Like that, any personality. That's what I'm talking about. So, who come up for with all that, without any thing? She's everywhere Krishna and that kind of thing.
Well, both Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there were life threats against them. It wasn't snakes and elephants, but persons that wanted to have them killed. I can give the histories, but there were persons that wanted to have them killed. And Krishna protected them. You want the, you have the details of the
I got it.
Huh?
I got it.
Okay. So the protection, the faith in Krishna, despite knowing, you know, they didn't go in hiding and, you know, stop their missionary work. It's because of the strength of their missionary work. Same with Prahlad, because he was, he did what he said what he said and did what he did without any fear. His father couldn't handle it. Kill him. But he couldn't kill him. Because Krishna protected him. Or Lord Vishnu protected him.
The reverse of that is where I personally couldn't see anyone in the scriptures where what Prabhupada has done, we couldn't see anything that in literature where anyone has done what Prabhupada has done to the whole world, changing so many people and hearts. It could be the other way of asking the question, who has done in the history what Prabhupada has done to us? It's quite amazing.
It's fact. In the history of the world, where a spiritual teaching became prominent in the world in a decade, never happened. Never happened. Even, you know, the Vaishnavism never happened in all over the world. Abundantly. Never happened. Anyway. Everyone's very peaceful tonight. Or something. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.